their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And it's good to be back. It's good to have you with us out there in listener land. It's good to have you here, Rick. And one of these days, we'll start doing these in person again. But for right now, we're still working.
You've got some hardware stuff to sort out, right?
Yeah, we got to, you know, we need to upgrade our recording equipment, to be honest. It's getting a little old, so we got to work on that. And so that means budget, that kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, in the meantime, we're still happily recording it remotely. Hopefully it works. For those of you who have been following us on our Facebook page, you probably have a pretty good idea of what we're going to be talking about, at least in part today. And that is our hands-on experience with the new Nikon 105 macro lens for Z cameras. You've had yours for not quite a week almost. I've had mine for like 2 days. But we did get out together and do a little shooting this week and have some first impressions to share with everyone. So that'll be good. But before we do that, Rick, there's been some new product announcements this week that we wanted to just briefly mention and give our thoughts on.
Yeah, so the ones that we'll focus on, there was an announcement by Canon about a new 14-35 f4 wide angle that'll be out soon. And then there's a new Nikon camera body, the ZFC, which is kind of a retro APS-C camera. We'll spend some time talking about that one. It's interesting. And then there's a development announcement, which was not a surprise, for an 18-140 millimeter DX or APS-C lens. Mm-hmm. And we won't really spend any more time on that, just saying, yeah, there's development announcement. I think it's good that Nikon is putting these out along with the roadmap, so you have a sense of what's coming up and approximately when.
I agree with you there.
That'll be a nice option for mirrorless DX body.
Absolutely. Okay, so
you want to talk about the Canon one first?
Yeah, why don't we start there? Because you were looking at that. I saw the announcement earlier in the week, and while I don't have any Canon cameras, I looked at that and I immediately thought that should be a solid addition to the lineup, because what it does. So this is a 14-35 f4 constant aperture. And if you are putting together a mirrorless kit like we do, you know, that's something that's a lens that I could see getting a lot of use. Cause I mean, we both use I have the Nikon 14-30,
Ditto. Yep.
And it's well made and it's excellent. So this gives Canon users or Canon mirrorless users a nice three lens collection, for, f4. Lenses, which are smaller and lighter than, you know, the 2.8 versions.
Yeah, because they'll then have a 14-35 f4, a 24-105 f4, and a 70-200 f4. And that last one is really kind of a cool little lens, very compact. I mean, just extremely compact. And this one is certainly a lot smaller than their 15-35 2.8 lens, which is a very good lens. It's just kind of bulky. Mm-hmm. And so I think it could be very appealing. Since it's just an announcement, we won't dwell a lot on it, but it's a nice size, uses 77 millimeter filters, which is what those other F4 lenses use. The only caution I see with it, and that, you know, and I'll just make a recommendation to any Canon users listening to this that are contemplating it, is I would try to get some honest to God test results from it before committing. If you look at the MTF charts, which is one of the things that we always take a peek at it, 14 millimeters wide open, which you may or may not care about, it doesn't look the best. It looks like there's potentially a lot of astigmatism with it. But you know, it could be that you go to 15 millimeters and it kind of disappears, and that might be fine. I don't know, you know, with the limited stuff.
Right.
It's an L-series lens. And frankly, all of their L-series lenses in general are really, really good lenses. So the odds are in its favor, but that's just the one thing that would make me slightly nervous with it. Nothing else.
Well, and you know, and as you would say, you know, MTFs, you kind of have to take with a little bit of a grain of salt because they're wide open. Are you going to be shooting this lens wide open? Certainly not if you're using it for something like landscapes and travel. You know, you're going to be stopped down a little bit. So maybe it doesn't even matter. But yeah, it's a, you know, always trust but verify with people who've actually used the gear rather than reviewers who just like to talk about the specs, which, okay, we're talking about the specs today, but we have nothing
else
to go on.
Yeah.
That we can speculate on paper stuff. You know, so that, which kind of, but I will say, like, having a lineup where you can have a three lens kit of F4 compact glass is very compelling. And it's something that I wish that I had with the Nikon system. I mean, there is no 70 to 200 F4 on their, you know, either announced or even on their roadmap. And
it's
to me,
shame.
That's a glaring omission. It's a real shame because their 14 to 30 is a stellar lens. The 24 to 70 F4 is very, very good.
Extremely good.
Yeah. And the 14 to 30 is actually priced incredibly competitively because I believe that new Canon lens is something in the $1,700 range US. So, whereas
as opposed to $1,100. So
yeah.
That's right now, at least.
Exactly. So, I mean, and not everybody needs a 14 millimeter wide angle lens. It's just, you know, it's nice to have that kit. So, you know, I would say Nikon if you're listening, but they're probably not listening to this show. So just, you know, we're always impressed at anyone out there that you are listening to this show, you know, much less the manufacturers out there. But I would love to see that. So then
move on to the ZFC.
Exactly. So we started seeing some rumors about this because there was a bunch of leaks, and this is where things get interesting, which was a new DX format, so APS-C, smaller sensor, camera, and all of the buzz was that it was going to be this retro design, you know, think Nikon FA, right? And this is the Nikon ZFC, which I think stands for a football club, but maybe I'm wrong. You know, every time I see FC now, I'm just assuming it's somebody's football club, you know? But no, indeed, it's a thing. And you know, it's funny. We've been talking about this for over the course of the last week since the first leaks started coming out. When I say talking about it, just you and me off, you know, just casually. And it's been an interesting...
You know, it's been an evolution. I'll just fess up and just say my initial reactions, which I don't think were terribly different than yours, were not very positive at all. And I may have made comments about envisioning pink versions of this with Hello Kitty stickers on them.
Right. So that was kind of the thing, you know,
that's
the marketing.
That's where my head is at now.
Yeah. So this camera, one of the things that Nikon came out with is that you can get it in a variety of colors. You know, the standard one that you'll see at your dealer is the silver and black, which I actually think looks pretty nice, actually. Yeah. It looks like my good old EL2 kind of, or FA, or, you know, one of those cameras. But that's not why I buy a camera. I don't buy a camera for the way it looks. I mean, that's nice, and it is appealing, especially if you've shot with film cameras in the past. It kind of looks like that, but that's not the reason you buy it.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's good to talk about these biases and stuff. I do have some. So buying a camera that's retro-styled in order to show it off not only has no appeal for me, it's a negative appeal for me. I have no interest in doing that. It makes no sense to me even. However, I do enjoy using cameras with the traditional control layout at times, especially for certain kinds of photography. And the way I would describe it is the more casual photography that can be travel stuff. It can be, you know, me taking it around town with my wife as we do things. Like a lot of people use cell phones, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I use my cell phone for things. But a lot of times I like something a little bit more than that. And I really enjoy that kind of control layout where you can see ISO really easily and change it immediately. Ditto with the shutter speed if I'm on manual exposure, and hopefully aperture is easy to set too. And so I do like that at times. I've got a few cameras that operate that way, some of the Fujis, et cetera, and they're very, very pleasant. They're not what I want to have when I'm doing landscape stuff and things like that. I find them a little bit awkward, and that would be a long discussion, but I love them for other things. And so that part of this camera was kind of interesting. The worry for me is I did own an FA, and in fact, I still have it, like a lot of my older manual focus cameras, and it was super cheap when I got it. It was used. I spent less than $70 on the body, and you know, so it was like, why not? And it was a good camera in a lot of ways, but I didn't like the way the exposure modes worked and the fact that the shutter speed dial could be set to something like a 250th of a second, yet that's not really what the camera was shooting at. So there was that kind of mismatch. And the other problem with the FA for me was it was just kind of plasticky, and shutter speed dial didn't feel smooth or nice compared to cameras like the FM2 or the FE2, which I also had. Those just seemed so much better. And I use those far more than the FA. There were some other things with the FA that I didn't care for. So I had that reaction of, this seems like an FA and it's too cute. And, but then
you know, my first impression was, do I want to look like a tourist from the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't have any desire to look like that. But, you know, let's just talk about the camera for a minute. I mean, it does have dial, machined aluminum dials on top and control layout. And I think when you're talking about the biggest question with a camera like this is, you know, and with all of them, who is the market, you know, who's the target audience? And I don't really think Nikon is specifically trying to target people who, you know, wax nostalgic for their film cameras, although that certainly has that look. You know, when you go for a camera in, We both have at times wanted to travel small and light, and have something that's, you know, not super expensive, and you know, you've got compact stuff. And when we were in the realm of DSLRs, I think it would be fair to say that neither of us enjoyed the shooting experience of the lower end Nikon DSLRs, the 3000 series, the 5000 series. Because so much of them was menu-driven rather than control-driven. And when you're used to shooting with, you know, the higher-end bodies where you have more dedicated controls and you don't have to go into menus as often, it was a better shooting experience. It was just more pleasurable.
Yeah, and the viewfinders weren't great on those bodies either. They were very small, kind of tunnel-like and, you know, a variety of things. So I, you know, one of my biases is that I like cameras that are engaging, emotionally engaging, that are fun to use, where I actually enjoy the shooting experience as opposed to tolerating it. And sometime we could have a discussion of, you know, ones I've used that I find really good and ones that I find just lacking, even though photographically they do fine.
Right.
And it doesn't correlate much with price, actually. But especially for the second body kind of thing, which I think for me, that's the niche it falls in for me. It's the take it on a trip where I'm not doing extensive photography, take it around town, those kind of things. That's how I would view it.
So, you know, basically when you look at this camera, in terms of what it does internally, it's not that different at all from the Z50.
No.
It has obviously the different control layouts, but it's still the same sensor, 20 megapixels, DX format. It sadly does not have image stabilization in body, the IBIS system. That's okay because most people were going to pair it with the kit lens, which is that 16 to 50 VR kit lens. It's going to work just fine. It does have, it's priced almost the same. It's a little bit, I think it's $100 more than a Z50 right now. But the Z50 wasn't exactly compelling to me. This one's a little bit more, but I'm looking at it as really what's driving it for me is, what you said, it's small. It's a small camera. And if you just want to have something to take casually and, I love my Z6, Z7 bodies, right? They're great and they're not huge. But by the time I put a lens on them, these are full frame, they get pretty monstrous. I mean, comparatively, let me put it this way. You don't fit it in a purse or just a little pocket. You could pocket that ZFC or the Z50 and with just its 16 to 50 kit lens, and you probably would be set for a vacation.
It would need to be a jacket pocket or something like that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But you could put it in a coat pocket, or you could put it in a small, tiny bag, and you're not carrying around a boat anchor for the times that you want to use it. And then another thing that Nikon did, now this is the head scratcher. We can have a philosophical discussion about this sometime, right? But it uses the autofocus options that match the Z2 series, the 6 and 7 2s. In other words, it has the wide area with face detection and stuff in it.
And supposedly it also has the improved eye autofocus, specifically the distance that it really starts kicking in that you find with the 2 series.
Now this is great. I mean, that's a good feature. Okay. But I would have to say that we're both a little bit miffed and or scratching our head on this one, Nikon.
Yeah.
Because
we both felt like we had to have 2 processors in order to pull that off, and this does not have 2 processors.
Right. So when Nikon announced the Z6 and 7 2s, they made a big deal about having 2 processors, and we were led to believe that that was driving some of their ability to have this improved autofocus stuff. Because one thing we did not see was a firmware update in the previous line to include those new focusing patterns at the very least.
Yeah.
Sensitivity and stuff aside. So that's a head scratcher for me. I'm not disappointed that I have a Z7 II, but whatever. So we went from, to make a long story short, we kind of went from like, this just looks like a toy. Will it work right? Will the controls be good enough to use? There's some differences between it and the Z50. It's got a slightly different flip out LCD. It flips out to the side rather than the bottom. And that can be cool. You can turn it around for videography, or you can turn it around for a selfie. Whatever. Okay, that's fine. But you're on vacation. That might be something that you do. Most of the specs are basically the same as the Z50. I think it does better video, right, Rick? Is that one of the discriminators?
Well, it's really autofocus during video with some of the updates on eye autofocus,
But if you had the choice between a Z50 and the ZFC, I'm kind of looking at the ZFC going, well, if I'm going to spend the money on a small camera, might as well make one that looks cool. It certainly looks cool.
It's fun to, a little bit more fun to operate. I think the Z50 remains a very nice camera, and I've been happy with mine.
Yeah.
But in that little space of how I use it, this might be preferable, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm more positive on it. I think it appears to be a much nicer camera to use than the DF, which I had very briefly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate it or anything like that. I did have some of those complaints in the control layout that I mentioned regarding the FA. But I kind of got used to it. And I basically only use manual exposure and aperture priority, that's it. And so I could keep it straight. It really wasn't a big problem. The problem I had with the DF is it was too big for what was a niche camera for me. And so I did not keep it. Yeah. It was just too big. And if you compare it to this new ZFC, the ZFC is so much smaller, especially in terms of depth. It is just much smaller camera. It's much more like an FM2.
And it doesn't have the big, I mean, for better or worse, it does not have that giant grip on it.
I hold my cameras in my left hand. You know, that's mm-hmm. where I support yeah. them. The right hand is really just a balancing thing, and then mm-hmm. controls in the shutter release. So it's not a big deal for me unless I had a huge lens on it. Well, and with this camera, with the Z50, I can put on the larger size lenses, you know, the full frame ones. Uh-huh. Have I ever done it? Nope.
Yeah. No, this is definitely targeted to people who are probably going to buy it with a kit lens, maybe add the longer zoom that you can get for the Z50 mm-hmm. right now. It's not currently bundled in that configuration. And that's going to be the lens that lives on this camera. And you know what? That's actually fine. Because, you know, for a long time, you know, people are, you know, the point and shoot camera is basically dead, right? I mean, cell phones right. have taken over. So if you're going to make something that kind of fits in that niche, you might as well make it look cool, and you might as well make it a decent camera and make it pocketable, because you're never going to make it cell phone sized. But when I look at the lack of the grip, I look at that as a positive thing with this camera. It makes me more likely to get one. Because you know what? When I'm traveling, I do want to go really light sometimes. I want to be able to take the camera, but I don't want to take the big bag. I just want to be able to either have it in a pocket or around my neck, whatever, and not bumping into things. And I think this one will do that. And we already know it's got a great sensor, you know, good lens. That 16-50 is an outstanding kit lens. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. And you know, one caveat is if you do want to order it in something other than the silver and black configuration, which might be good for old school purists or Raiders fans, you'll have to order the colored versions, the tinted ones from Nikon USA direct here in the States. They're not selling those to dealers, at least it doesn't seem like they are.
Yeah, maybe a special order, I'm not sure.
But you know, before we leave, you know, You started, I mean, we were talking about this for a whole week, but like you were very kind of critical of what you thought it would be. And then you started seeing reviews from people who'd actually held the camera, right?
Yeah. Everyone who's actually used it seems to love it. The negative comments seem to be coming from armchair critics.
Well, do you see, you know, that goes back to what we were saying about that Canon lens earlier. Wait until there's a real world hands-on review from someone you know who's not looking just to make clickbait, you know, oh, you know, it's the end of the, you know, the sky is falling. Look at this, yeah. You know, clearly Nikon is doomed or Canon or whoever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, good Lord.
So when you get reviews from people who have actually used it and they are saying good things about it, then you can start making a better decision on it.
So, okay. Let's talk a little bit about the 105, and we'll do a little bit more on it too after mm-hmm. our trip to Crested Butte for right. the Wildflower Workshop in a couple weeks.
Just before we go there, just you mm-hmm. once again just reiterate that Nikon did announce this 18-140 DX lens. It's a development announcement, and you mentioned that's a good thing. It's a great thing to know that it's in the pipeline, because if you are considering a DX Nikon Z, you know, a Z50 or a ZFC, you know, knowing that there's going to be this lens in the future, an all-purpose zoom, is a good thing that, you know, it helps you with your buying decision.
Yeah.
So
in our remaining time, like you mentioned earlier, we both had a few days to use the 105. You know, my initial reaction when I first got it was, gosh, this thing is light.
Yeah, same here.
It really surprised me. Once I started using it on the body, I realized, gosh, it balances really nicely. And it handles really, really well. with a Z body. The older lens, the 105BR, which we've both owned for a long, long time, gosh, you know, probably yes, like 13, 14 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Or even more and used a lot, just felt very unbalanced. It's definitely heavier. It's, you know,
it's
like
a strange feeling because if I pick up the VRG, the original one, it feels like a big brick in my hand. When I pick up this one, which I knew was going to be lighter, I mean, it's 200 grams lighter, give or take. Mm-hmm. But it felt much lighter and it felt balanced very differently. It's rear weighted. The weight is more towards the rear of the lens, which makes sense, right? Because a lot of those rear elements with the, you know, with the new Z mount design. And so once you put it on your camera, it just balances really well. Comparing it to the previous, you know, macro, which if you want to use it on a Z body, of course, you just use the FTZ adapter. It just doesn't balance in your hand quite the same way.
No, and it's,
I don't know, it's just a feel thing.
If you include the adapter that you need to use the F-mount version, it ends up being, I can't remember if it was like 225, 230 grams more for the older one, you know, so roughly a half pound.
Over half of it.
Yeah.
It's like 0.55 pounds heavier.
Yeah, so it's noticeable. And like I said, the handling of the new one is just very nice and balanced. The other thing, I actually did not use the older lens for quite a few days. I just used the new one. And then I thought, gosh, I need to do at least some comparisons with the older one. And one of the things I tried, because I think I thought it would be of interest, is some handheld shots, you know, at roughly half life size, just to see if I could pull it off. And I tried the new one, you know, with VR engaged, and it worked pretty well. I didn't have too much trouble keeping the composition steady. A little bit. It just gets hard when you get to that magnification. And honestly, I would rarely do that. I'd use a tripod if I could. This would be an emergency thing if I saw a cool bug on a flower or something like that. But the new one seemed fine. And then I switched the old one. Oh my God, do not do this. Unless you are planning on having the new lens, just do not. You will be so upset. It was like this clickety-clackety nightmare that sounded like it was about to fall apart. And it's just the sound of the old autofocus motor. I had it on continuous.
We like the old lens. We really
did.
I mean, it's a great lens. It's sharp. You know, this new one is just better. It's quieter. It focuses more quickly. It's snappier.
You definitely see more fine detail.
The bokeh is wonderful. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see some shots that we've posted. And I've got at least one where I think I put it on my Instagram or something like that, but you know, where we had out of focus kind of specular highlights, and they were nice round, you know, it's got the rounded aperture blades. Everything was rendered pleasantly, nice backgrounds, very sharp. I haven't done any, you know, testing to look at the corners or anything like that yet. I've only had my lens for a day and a half. So, you know, that'll come later, but it's just very nice to use.
Yeah, it is clearly better.
And it's priced very reasonably too, if you consider that it's $100 more than the previous version.
Yeah. The
honestly, that's not bad.
Yeah, and like I said, do not do the direct comparison unless you're prepared to buy the new one. But if you have the old one, let's just put a little bit of realism on this. Like we said, we used that older one for many years and we're very happy with it. And I, because of the way I normally used it, which is I was using it on a tripod, so I wasn't using VR. I very often used manual focus because I didn't find the autofocus to always be great. The new one seems better in that respect, but it was fine. It really was. It wasn't quite as sharp, but you know, frankly, for a lot of macro shots of flowers and stuff, you don't need ultimate sharpness. So I don't think it's a thing where you need to feel compelled to go out and get one, especially if you're just doing macro sporadically. You know, that's my realistic thing.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
The way I actually feel about it is I'm very happy with the new lens.
Yeah. Well, and if you shoot Z and you do any amount of macro, and again, you could use it as a portrait lens, like we've mentioned, it's a better lens. It's going to save you a half of a pound out of your kit when you pack it. So that's not trivial right there. And it uses the same front filters as the old ones, 62 millimeters. So there's a lot of good stuff there. And as we said, when we looked at the specs and we were correct, the only drawback of this lens, other than you have to go out and buy it, of course, is, you know, because you can get the other ones used. It doesn't take teleconverters. So you're at least not Nikon ones. And maybe they'll eventually be a Z teleconverter from a third party that would allow it to work. But for right now, that doesn't exist. So if you wanted to extend it out, and why? Because you get a little more working distance. It increases your magnification. You can be farther away from your subjects, which can be good for bugs and things like that, that you don't want to stick it right up in their face. So, but other than that, I mean, it's a very pleasant lens to shoot and hand hold with. And I like the digital LCD display. You know, you can set it quite easily so that you can read out magnification ratios or focus distance or aperture and whatever. So it's a very well-made lens.
Yeah, there are very few downsides. The other nice thing is that Nikon appears to be packaging the lens correction information in the NEF file. So if you use Lightroom, if you use Capture One, it's there immediately. Both products will read that data and apply it to. There's almost no distortion with this lens, so it kind of doesn't matter. But the vignetting correction is nice, but that's already available in those two products. Okay. Other ones don't necessarily do that, so you may not have those corrections in those products for a while. But I would recommend it. Not a lot of downsides, other than you have to buy it.
Right. If it's something that you would have had in your kit anyway, it's a worthy addition to the lineup. Yeah. Anyway, we'll post more sample photos over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. If you have questions about the new lens, how it performs, we've already been answering a few from some of our listeners. We'd be happy to continue doing that. But we're about out of time for today. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.